Gibson Raby, the city manager of Beloit, is with us for Community Matters. He joins us every Wednesday at the end of the month to talk about what's going on. And now that things have thawed out, maybe you guys can do even more stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. It just makes it shows you that much more you got to do. So I think everybody's scrambling pretty hard. Obviously, got a lot of mud and broken roads and bridge issues and all sorts of fun stuff. But it'll be, you know, it's pretty unprecedented winter and wet spell and snow. Yeah. So, and it can always be worse. You look at some of our neighboring states and areas, and makes you thankful for at least where we're at.
Yeah.
You
know,
so we can deal with that.
Yeah, compared to our neighbors to the north and what they're dealing with, we've got it easy.
Yeah, exactly.
What a mess that is up
there. Terrible.
That's insane. Yeah. It's almost like it's made up, but it's not.
Yeah.
These big, huge, I mean, just ice walls, ice coming in, yep. And all the flooding and...
Fields buried under mud. Yeah. Still, I mean, there's a picture I saw this morning. You know, you could barely see the top of the pivot, you know, out there. And
yeah.
The rest of it's mud. I mean, probably it's never insane. Build farm it again.
Insane. Yeah. See these bridges just washed away.
Yep. Dams.
Dams and just the highways and interchanges are underwater or have been. And just the infrastructure. So, yeah, we have it pretty good where we're at. No question about it. So what are some of the things that are on the list to do or projects that you're working on right now as we head into spring?
Yeah, I mean, right now, really, we're just trying to get stuff kind of back to square one, you know, and it's going to take some work, you know, as the weather warms up. I know the street crews have really been working hard on the alleys. You know, those took a beating this winter and then this mm-hmm. spring, and obviously softened up, but we've put many, many tons of rock out there trying to get them at least to be drivable, and obviously they'll keep doctoring those up and trying to improve them. And a couple other things that we're going to be working on is kind of like we talked a few months ago, working on West Main and trying to get that curb replaced and get that road smoothed out. And then also we have a few drainage structures or bridges, I guess you could say, small bridges down kind of in the Gill Creek Circle Drive area that have really had some issues. You know, that we've kind of identified them the last few years, but obviously with all this water and rain and softness flowing through them, they've had bigger issues. So that'll be stuff we'll be talking about as far as trying to figure out how do you replace those and what's cost effective and what's the smartest. But it's one of those you can't keep ignoring. You know, it's got to be done, kind of like that pipe we did, you know, that drainage pipe we did downtown last year. Is, you know, eventually you got to bite the bullet and make it happen. So. That'll be some of the stuff that we'll be working on, and obviously the street and sewer crews, the sewer and water crews will be working on replacing pipe and kind of a thing we've been doing with the sewer side of it's been a little bit more targeted. We've been able to, jet about a quarter to a third of the town out a year, and now we've been going behind that with a camera system that's able to, especially on the sewer side, obviously the sewer side, able to really identify problem areas and where there's breaks and stuff that you may not know until it's plugged, mm-hmm. you know, or you have a big problem. So we have a lot of areas, thankfully, that now we can more strategically, you know, we'll know right where it is in the ground because the camera keeps track of it and get that fixed. I know we've already been doing that quite a bit, so we'll really be hitting that hard again this summer. They'll be busy.
Yeah. How do you go about, I've always wondered this because there's so many bridges in the world. I mean, just little tiny bridges for crying out loud. You don't even know you drive across on county roads and everything else. How do you keep track of, is it just one of those situations where, okay, we've got word that this bridge isn't, there's something. I mean, how does that work from a city perspective? Okay. And then how does that work in regards to the communication level, probably maybe within the city, and then it's different for the county, of course. But I've always wondered that because we see these bridges are being washed out in Nebraska, and you're like, okay, how good a condition were they before mm-hmm. they got washed out? And then my next question, of course, is, well, what kind of condition are they in now of the ones that are left standing and the roadways themselves? And it was a big initiative of the Trump election when they were campaigning about infrastructure.
Sure.
And now we haven't really seen them get to that yet. But what about it from a city perspective, how you go about saying, all right, this is project one, this one needs the most help. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like whack-a-mole where, we got something over here that's even more pressing that we weren't aware of once we started this project.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think the best way that we try to handle it is kind of a capital improvement plan. You know, we try to identify, so we have the different departments tell us, hey, here's the issues, you know, in this instance streets, and obviously our engineer has kind of a clue on it. I know when I first got here, we kind of drove around and saw some of these problem spots, you know, there's that drainage pipe downtown, or actually some of these bridges are starting to give us, I would say more drainage culverts that are starting to give us some issues. And then you just try to kind of rank them and put them in this plan of saying, hey, this year we'll fix this one. This year, you know, as money allows, type of things. You know, last year we tackled that big drainage pipe downtown because again, that was big, expensive, tough. And so that's kind of what you try to do. But you're exactly right. That I always call that CIP or that capital improvement plan kind of a living document because all of a sudden you get a bad storm and it can switch it. And I think that's what you saw in Nebraska. I've experienced it back in Iowa. Even, you know, we had a bridge that stamped on there. It was built like in the late 1800s, updated in 1912, got washed out in 2014. So it stayed there for 100 years. Now, had it had problems? Was it kind of, oh, we're not sure? Sure. But it was an unprecedented flood that took it out.
Yes,
and I think that's what, you know, kind of reading some of the reports up in Nebraska, and I think that's what happens here is there's always an accepted or an understood risk or, you know, thought of failure type of thing in some of those bridges. I mean, you saw after the Minneapolis thing, everybody has to go out and grade their bridges, and there's fracture critical. You know, if one piece fails, the whole thing will fail. I mean, there's a lot of everybody knows stuff, but you're limited on funds, and so then you're trying to take out the worst ones that you can as you can. And obviously, if you get a 100 or 500 year storm event or something crazy, all that built-in safety factors, even probably on a great bridge, are going to be taken out. I mean, there's just something about nature that's just it doesn't really care what's there if it's something bad, you know. And unfortunately, you see some of those extreme things. But, you know, we work hard to try to be on top of it. And obviously, in the city, we don't have as much of that really critical, big span type stuff. But, you know, you also don't want to get caught, you know, with a couple houses not able to access something because something got washed out.
You know? Jason Rabe, the city manager of Beloit. Our guest today on Community Matters, brought to you by Metro County Hospital Health Systems and the First National Bank of Beloit. It's been interesting. I've talked with some people lately, and if you talk to, it's kind of interesting. And I'm going to present it to you. And that is because we've seen there have been drug busts. We've seen drug busts, and there's always drugs across the country, wherever it be. You can be a small town community, and there are drugs. The question is, how big of a problem is it? And I've talked with some people here recently. I've talked with parents and this and that that seem to think that, and I've talked with previous law enforcement, no longer here, that told me at that time, we have a much bigger drug problem than people have any idea we have. When you hear those type of things, how do you react to that? And then second, you know, what's being done to go about addressing that? Because it is scary because you and I both have children that are, you know, not hopefully to that level, but there is peer pressure. And if there's more of that rampant, the odds are that it's some, you know, your kids, you don't want them to try any of this stuff, but it is out there. And it seems to be becoming a bigger issue, not only for our area, but other areas as well.
No, I agree. You know, I think we've seen that in the rural areas. I mean, it's been the big cities. We always thought that was a big city problem, whatever that means. But I think that's trickled out to the rural areas. And obviously, you know, as the economy comes and goes, that can bring spurred on, right? Because you've got the people supplying it, and then you have that willing market. And I think it's kind of a twofold approach where, or maybe a couple-fold approach or multi-prong approach, you know, between law enforcement and school and parents and the community to try to help knock it out, you know. And I think a lot of the bigger drug busts you see sometimes are just stuff coming through an area, you know, and they kind of go from one area to the other. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't get them in town, you know, and I know that, you know, at least our police department, you know, Chief Elam, I mean, he works hard at trying to get those people and also try to figure out where they're coming from and how it's going. But it's one of those, you know, it's going to take a lot of effort from everybody to kind of help, I think, eradicate those from our community, you know, and, you know, I think, from one perspective, you know, Beloit does good, but it doesn't mean that there's not still a problem. You know what I mean? Like, just because, you know, it's kind of like when you used to compare to your mom, like, well, at least I didn't do that. You know, like, well, you worry about Jason, right?
Yes,
you know,
it's
like, you know, we can't, you know, even as Beloit, you know, we say, well, we don't have problems that town has or those towns have, but we still need to worry about Beloit, you know? And I think it's definitely top of mind. And I feel like we've got good people on, you know, the sheriff and the police department that care about that. Hopefully we can continue to work at trying to get that problem to go away.
I think there's a misconception out there, and I think it's not in my backyard, but you don't realize it is. And I think there's so many people are naive in our listening area that if it doesn't affect them, they don't think there's a problem.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. And I think a lot of people think that the only drugs in our area are the ones that go up and down the highway. That's it. Mm-hmm. That they just stay on the highway. They don't go anywhere else. They just stay on the highway. And if we happen to catch them, we catch them. If not, they just keep on going. Yeah. That's not how it works.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to open a bigger political commentary, but I think it kind of gets into that whole thing, even with, you know, I think we don't have that here yet or ever, but, you know, like you have school violence or things like that happening. Mm-hmm. And it's always, I didn't know that was going on.
Exactly.
This or that, you know, and I think sometimes we have to, as parents or community members, we have to kind of root that out, or, you know, be aware of it, or try to come up with a plan to eradicate it or help control it or whatever. And I think that exactly right. You know, sometimes we lose track, and, you know, myself too.
Sure,
like how much do I even talk? You know, my kid's only 11 at this point, but how much have I talked to him about?
Right.
Hey, this is what could happen. This is what's going on. I mean, those are tough conversations, but it's just like kind of some of the other talks you have to have when they get older. You know, it's probably another one that you need to have.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You know, you try to pay attention the best you can and be as proactive as you can until things are too late, like you said. Jason Rabia, City Manager Bullitt, our guest today on Community Matters. Now, what else are you guys working on here that we've left out or should be brought up here? Because there's going to be so many more things as you go into the summer months, too.
Yeah, you know, I think the
we're trying to get through this conversation without saying anything about water.
Yeah, so. Well, I was just about broke it right there.
Darn.
But, I just think, you know, it's such a huge, you know, again, I will say it because I think it's just something we got to keep talking about, only because, you know, you look at read books about what, you know, number one way to kill your community, and that's not having good water, you know, and obviously I think we've done some improvements to that and gotten ourselves into compliance and those types of things, but that doesn't mean that long term we don't need to solve this problem. So that's still going on, you know, when you have it submitted to KDHE and trying to get that, you know, final approval, so that we can then start getting the permits and the design done. It's kind of just saying, hey, here's how we're going to do it. Here's how we're going to treat it. Here's what the waste is going to happen from the plant. And they give it the blessing, and we're able to keep moving forward. But it's kind of one of those, it's kind of the tortoise and the hare scenario. You just got to keep plugging along, you know. So it may feel like, man, we still haven't seen anything. But, you know, there's a lot of hurdles and bridges that we've crossed. So that's just kind of a long-term one, and the same thing we're going to have to do on the wastewater plant. You know, it's just something that we're just going to keep leaning on and keep pushing on. You know, other things I think that are exciting that are going on is, you know, of course, you know, there's a lot of residents that care here and you know, kind of through that strategic doing process, focusing on different parts of town again, kind of trying to keep that proactive nature that Bullitt always has. And I think that's what kind of separates us. You know, rural is hard. You know, we suffer setbacks, obviously. You know, we had, you know, a retailer, you know, Shopko, which all rural communities are.
Absolutely.
You Google that, it's the same article, whether it's in Minnesota, you know, Illinois, Wisconsin, or Kansas. You know, and it's, what are we going to do? You know, who's out there? What's going to happen? But I think what's, you know, separated certain communities similar to Bullitt is that they've been proactive for many years and saying, how are we going to engage young people? How are we going to get them back here? Mm-hmm. And so I think just some of that stuff that those strategic doing groups are doing, you know, just to kind of help with some of that amenity stuff, you know, it's not quite as critical, but it's still good to have, you know, their appropriate signage or a good park or, you know, an even nicer downtown, you know, keep improving downtown, those types of things. I think those are things that continue to be a difference maker potentially for Bullitt versus other communities that, you know, are just withering away, you know, and that's what we don't want here, you know? So, so I think there's some exciting work being done on that too.
Since you brought up Shopko, what's the latest in regards to I don't know all the details about the building and about, you know, obviously there are people that are losing some jobs, and that's never good for a small town community.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things, unfortunately. It just, I think that in January, it seemed like it was going to be fine. I know that, you know, the ownership of the building. I mean, everybody made some efforts to try to make something happen there. And I think it was just, you know, until about a month and a half ago and the store seemed safe. And then all of a sudden, boom, it just was gone. And I think it was a Shopko trying to get themselves in a position to get a buyer. And unfortunately, about a week ago, they obviously made the announcement that there's no buyer, so there's just no Shopko anywhere. I mean, Shopko, as we know it, is going away, which is really unfortunate. So, you know, I think that's where it's going to take some creativity by people in the community or whatever to try to either replace that. You know, how do you do it? Is it privately owned? Is there another? I mean, there's been pages and pages of research trying to be done to try to say, hey, what else is out there that could fill this void as far as that kind of that soft goods retailer? And and it's really tough because there just isn't much. I mean, you see it, you know.
Well, you get so much competition, and then you got the online aspect of it too, and so many people, and you know, and that leads probably to our last thing we can talk about before we let you go, and this we could talk about this for hours, and that is supporting your local community. And granted, you know, it's, I think there's so many people out there that take their money out of town. Like, I know people that buy brand new vehicles out of town. mm-hmm. and they don't even let the local people have a shot at it. Now, mm-hmm. Now there are times where the locals maybe can't compete.
Sure.
It happens. I get it. You got to take care of your family, and if you can save yourself this much money, whether it be any kind of profession or industry, I get that. But I talk to, you know, businesses, you do as mm-hmm. well, and sometimes they're given a chance. Sometimes they can stand up to any competition, and they can keep the business in town. Sometimes they can't, but they mm-hmm. try. But the thing that really bothers them the most is when they're not given the opportunity.
Sure.
That's the thing that really irritates them from when I talk with them. And then you take that, you know, sales tax money that goes out of town, mm-hmm. and then those same people sometimes come back and go, well, why don't we have the money? Why don't we have this? Why don't we have that? Why isn't this being fixed? You just went out of town and spent a whole bunch of money
yeah.
when you could have done it locally, or at least given the chance for somebody to do locally. And it's not just in regards to big ticket items, but also, and you're shopping. We probably all have shopped online at some point in our lives, sure. I would imagine. But that is one of the challenges that you have as well, is the newer generations coming up. They don't go into those stores as much as they once did.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just the convenience of clicking. You know, yeah, the funny thing
click
is
and I'll deliver at my door.
Even the funny thing is you still have to wait. You know what I mean? You know, yeah. So it's like, you know, sometimes,
you don't get
sometimes it can be a challenge of like the fact of, hey, I want to get this certain thing mm-hmm. for my house or whatever else. And yeah. you go to the store here and you might have to order it. Well, right. that's the same difference I'd have to do on Amazon, or I had to wait till the weekend to go down to Salina or whatever. So,
right.
you know, I think it's just a change in habit. I think we have a lot of community members that really work hard at that, you yeah. know, but it's a challenge like to all of us. It's kind of it's almost kind of the anti, you know, it's like everybody likes to be a rebel a little bit. And mm-hmm. so I think kind of being rural and, mm-hmm. and choosing to be that is kind of that lifestyle, you mm-hmm. know? And I think people do embrace it and more people could mm-hmm. because it's easy to live in a bigger city or to do the online shopping thing. But right. it's more of a cool feeling or challenge to say, hey, what can I buy here locally? Mm-hmm. And, so, yeah.
I've also heard the thing about it is that when you live in a smaller area or community, everybody knows your business. And so yeah. if you know, it's one of those things where they know everything that I do or what I buy. And sometimes that's the excuse though. Well, I go out of town, so people don't know where or what I did.
Sure.
Although if you come back with something you bought and there's a big sticker on it saying where you got it from, you kind of gave that away and it defeated the purpose of that. But I guess there's some truth to that probably as
sure.
well, you know, everybody
sure.
talks about, yeah. oh, he or she or they yeah. have that, what, that must be nice.
And, yep.
you know, whereas in a bigger city, you might not even know your neighbor that's, you know, five houses down.
That is true.
It yep. is different.
Yeah,
it
is different. Yeah, there's not as much anonymity here. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
right, right. Yeah. So pros and cons of that, as we
that's
know,
right.
because when you're in a tough time, you'd be amazed how a community rallies around you, whereas in a bigger city, it's not quite
correct
that way. Anything else to add before we let you go, man?
No, sir. I think we're good.
All right. You're ready? You're coaching baseball or any of that stuff?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's getting kind of busy for that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
coming around.
Yeah.
Yep. Thankfully, the weather broke. I mean, I think everybody's...
fields are going
to
dry out.
Yeah, finally, yeah, the last week or two, they're able to get outside, so yeah. That's been good.
Highs in mid to upper 80s, or 80s, 70s today. And
yeah.
if it's in the 80s, we'll complain about how hot
yeah, hopefully we can miss a little bit of this rain. I think that'd be good.
Yeah, probably so. Well, thanks for the time. Jason Raby, our city manager of Beloit, joins us today on Community Matters.